I will call this meeting of the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board to order. It's February 6, 2025. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for everyone that woke up in rural Utah and made the drive in the dark to get here this morning. I think first we'll start off with some introductions. I want to make a couple special introductions first. First, we have Justin, last name.
Anderson,
excuse me. Joining us is our new legal counsel assigned to the CIB board. Our former legal counsel, Christopher Piper, moved on to other things. And so welcome.
Thank you.
And I've had a chance to, you know, visit with you a little bit, but we're really excited and happy to have you. So I want to give you just a minute to introduce yourself, and then I'll move on to Bill.
All right. I'm very excited to be here. I was coming with some people over here. Chris was actually hired into the Foreign Service with essentially a can you move to D.C. in 3 weeks, and he took it. So this is kind of to my benefit. But I graduated from BYU Law in 2015. I kind of had an eclectic career. I worked at the Innocence Center for a year, the Family and Contract Law after that, and then I made my way to the state where I represented the Department of Corrections. Then I went to the Salt Lake City for a couple years to represent the Police Department and Human Resources, and then back at the AG's almost exactly 1 year ago to represent the Department of Corrections, and then when Chris left, I jumped at the opportunity to come here. But if anybody has questions, I'm glad, but that's kind of the Cliff Notes version.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we're going to plan on you keeping us out of trouble moving forward.
This is the goal.
That's great. That's great.
It's next, a full-time job.
It's a full-time job, yeah. Next, I want to introduce Commissioner Bill Winfield from Grand County. Bill and I have known each other for quite some time, and you know, I just want to congratulate Bill, you know, for his appointment to this board. And you know, as a first-term commissioner, you know, from Grand County, I think it's a real testament to your hard work and the dedication you've shown to the responsibilities you have. And I think, you know, for everyone, I think we're really happy that you're here, Bill, and we're looking forward to working with you. So,
yeah, I appreciate that, and I want to thank all of you for the faith that you have in me, for sure. I will note that there will be no singing on my part if you expect me to follow in Bruce's shoes. It's not going to be able to happen, and I'm sparing you by doing so. So it's appreciated.
Can you see San Juan County from your county?
From my back porch.
You better see it.
And, you know, I appreciate Curtis as well and his kind words. And I have known Curtis a long time and actually graduated high school with his mother. So I go quite a ways back with that family and have the utmost respect for all of them and appreciate it. So thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with all of you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Commissioner Lytle.
Jack Lytle, Daggett County Commissioner, representing the Uinta Basin AOG.
Ralph Brown, Sevier County, representing Sevier County.
Kurt Slaw, I'm the Deputy State Treasurer. I'm representing the State Treasurer on the board.
Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner, representing Fife County AOG.
Curtis Wells, representing Board Chairman, representing rural Utah.
Nagi Zanadi from sunny St. George, representing UDOT Commission, and Happy New Year to everyone. And I bring greetings from Bruce Adams, talked to him this morning. And he is in UDOT meeting, as you know. And I love this board so much, I decided to be here with you rather than with the UDOT. Thank you.
And I will note that I represent CERDA, the Southeastern Rural Development Agency, is where my appointment came from.
And Bruce says that even though he's not here, but he always sees you from San Juan County. Watches you, too.
Scott Bartholomew, San Pete County, representing the R6 Council.
Commissioner Greg Miles from Duchesne County, representing Duchesne County. And in last year's numbers, Duchesne County produced 38 million barrels of oil.
Wonderful. I'm going to go up this year.
Yes.
Excellent. Do we have, now remind me, is Bruce Hansen joining us?
Yeah, Dean Baker.
And Mayor Baker is joining us online. So I'll turn.
Baker is online. Laura is not.
Laura's
going to try.
Okay. So we have Mayor Dean Baker joining us, and he's representing the AOG, correct?
I represent the AOG. He represents you in the county.
You in the county.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. Excellent. Item 2A, upcoming meeting dates. So our next meeting is scheduled for April 3rd. How does that look for everyone?
Good.
Any issues there? Seeing, hearing none. Okay, April 3rd works for us. Moving forward. Item B, the financial review. Ms. Powers.
The financial review will be done by Kaylee Beck with DWS Finance.
Good morning, Kaylee.
Good morning.
I'm Kaylee Beck with DWS Finance.
Hi, Kaylee Beck with DWS Finance.
Good morning.
Welcome.
So today, I don't have the greatest of news for you. I'll make it short and sweet.
Kaylee, microphone, please.
Okay. You have $28.6 million available to allocate to any of these projects that you so choose to do today. Unfortunately, we have $34 million in projects that are going to be presented to you. And so there's a shortfall of $5.7 million. So unfortunately, there's going to be need to be made some decisions of what is going to be happening with these projects today because you can't fund them all as they are presented to you in the packet. Any questions?
We'll take it up from my wages.
Okay.
Thank you, Kate.
Is
appreciate
that split
it.
Between the two funds or predominant, or is it all out of?
It's predominantly out of the bonus fund that you're going to have a negative balance.
All of it will be out of the bonus?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
As Candace has allocated it so far.
That there is one loan taken out of, one big loan taken out of the mineral lease. Not funding that will not affect the balance of the bonus, but you can trade anybody else for it. That's just where it's allocated so that the board could acknowledge there is funding available in the mineral lease for granted loan, but the bonus is the shortfall for those loans.
Thank you. Okay, next we have the approval of minutes from the December 5th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved, so, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Motion made by Chairman Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Minutes approved unanimously. Okay, we are going to go into our priority projects for funding. First up, item 4.1, Ashley Valley Water and Sewer Improvement District. Please join us if you'd like. The request is for $3,935,000, $1 million in grant, $2,935,000 in loans, and a loan 30 years at 1 point. For a district administration office. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for the invite.
You bet. Does the board have any questions for the applicant? Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
I will second the motion.
Okay. Motion made to approve by Chairman Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Miles. Discussion?
Discussion.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Lytle.
So recognizing the situation that we're in, it's more discussion and maybe I'll withhold. If we could have some discussion before the next one is called, though.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So you ready on this one to go?
Yes.
Everything's all done?
Well, so we are finalizing the engineering drawings right now as we speak. Those are scheduled to be done the middle of March, and we were planning on bidding
depending on advertising of that in April, end of April, first part of May, construction in June, July, depending on when the contractor gets in. But, yeah, we're ready to move forward.
Thank you.
No more discussion?
Call the question.
I'll call for a roll call vote, please. Ms. Powers?
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes, but the chairman abstaining.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Now, Jack, did you want to discuss something before
well,
we jump
I just
into more
a question, knowing that we've got the thing, if we're following any particular criteria or how you want to go through this to and not with any one project in mind necessarily.
Yeah.
But
obviously, I think it would be helpful to have a discussion on the board of where we're going to cut the 5.7 before we just go through the
project. Or withhold the approvals and decide, because obviously shovel ready is very important.
Yeah.
Another thing might be important is as it relates to our marching orders, as it relates to code and preferences or priorities relative to producing counties, just how to work through this in anticipation rather than get to the last one or two guys and say, oh, well, we've used it. See ya.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Just if you had something in mind, I was curious to know how you wanted to go through this.
You know, I don't, Commissioner, but I do think that, you know, the process of just going through and the board kind of naturally finding where to cut it, it may not be the sweetest science. And so, you know, if we want to have some upfront discussion, you know, about where we see opportunities to bridge the gap, I'm happy to entertain that. We can do that now.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there are any applicants that are not ready and what the process would be. Can they be pushed to the next meeting? Being new, I don't know the 100% process, but there might be something that would reduce that number just by moving them forward.
Yeah.
I agree. I think we ought to look at everybody. I know everybody says, oh, yeah, we're shovel ready. I've seen shovel ready take 18 months. Would there be any applicant that, you know, can tell me, you know, are you ready to go next month? I think we need to open that up and look at that.
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Should we just ask the Kane County, that $5 million is coming, just to see what they feel and if they're ready to go, if they can wait for the next meeting?
Sure.
With that in mind, what would it be? I'm asking, not necessarily suggesting, but to go ahead and let them come up and present as in the order of the agenda, and we can ask those questions with some criteria in mind, and then do the, and then not approve them right then, but then deliberate or do whatever we need to once they've presented, and then do the approval. Okay. Does that make sense?
Hear from everyone, and then
And then we can ask our questions, and hopefully not take all day, but I feel like we're kind of in a corner.
Yeah, I think that's great. That would work well.
Does that make sense? But to Nagi, does that work?
Just fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's give him the opportunity.
I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, let's do that. So up next, we'll have UNA Transportation Special Service District join us, and their request is for $11,450,000, $8,015,000 in grant. $3,435,000 in loan, 15 years at a half a point for road improvements in the Independence East area of Uinta County. Welcome. And I will open it up to the board for Q&A with the applicant.
Yes, sir.
So, a quick question, and maybe it's involved in a statement. When you were here before, it seems like we asked you to compartmentalize it to some degree, as well as I think you didn't get your total ask. Could you explain where you're at relative to today? Sorry, is that not catching
up?
Where you're at today in terms of your needs, as well as what you've done to pare down your project.
May I? Thank you. Let me introduce Commissioner Sonia Norton. She sits on our board, and it's a pleasure to have her here with us today. We appreciate being able to come before you, and we appreciate the support that we have received from this this board in the past. Just as a reminder, at our last meeting, we were the only county that took a cut, and it wasn't insignificant. We were willing to work with the board, and we cut $1 million from our project. When we went back and reviewed that and to determine if we were still able to do the project with the reduced funding, we decided or determined that we would, that we can do it and still meet the timelines and the project expectations so that we can meet the needs of our oil and gas community out in this area. But our board decided that we could not take any more reductions, that we needed to have that funding. And when you look at the impacts that we have in our community from oil and gas, these heavy-duty trucks, these big transportation semis that go that you see going down the highway, that's straight mileage on your state highways. In our little rural areas, they're making lots of corners turning, and that increases the impact on the roads, and the degradation is significant. We determined that we can still do the project, but we need it fully funded at the amount that that has been determined at this point. So does that answer your question, Jack?
Yes, thank you.
So I understand the need to get the project fully funded. I guess my question is, when we approached you at the last board meeting, we said, we fully expect you to come back with $1 million. And I guess I would ask you the same thing. Could you guys come back at a later date if we put you at the front of the line for additional funding? If we were to cut the funding today, could you still start the project anticipating additional funding at a later date? That's my question.
Can I speak? If it's okay, I would like to speak a little bit to that. I know you were here, I believe, in 23, I think it was when we came with this project, but as a whole project. And it was quite a substantial amount. And it was brought then as an emergency project because of how quickly this road was disintegrating. And, of course, it wasn't on the one-year list. It wasn't agreed to fund, even here, as an emergency project. So there have been some changes in the districts as well, and that has caused some delays. But we realize this is a project that we feel is urgent to be addressed. And we did phase it into three different phases. I don't know if that was brought up at the previous meeting. But we phased it into three phases so that we could chunk it and take it a little bit less at a time. And we felt like that was trying to help do what the board had asked.
We keep chipping away at this project, and I know it's a large number, but the very fact that initially we wanted to go with the full project and we cut it back into phases, and then it's kind of put on our shoulders. Well, if you're going to do it at phases, then can you bump up the funding back even further? And the impacts are significant. I would say, well, let's schedule a visit out there and let's take the board out there and show you the waffling and the alligator cracking in the roads and the shoulders that are falling off. And we brought pictures last time and showed all of you the impacts that it's happening on this road. And industry, they have heavy duty equipment, and you know they can bump along over these roads, but at the same time, in the same areas, you've got agriculture, And the impacts to them is significant, and we're asking them to shoulder some of this as well, to drive over these roads, and they are, the longer you wait on the road is not, it doesn't just gradually fall apart. Once it starts falling apart, it falls apart quickly. Those of you who have experience in road maintenance, and if you can keep the I can't remember what you call it, but the value of your road at 80% or better, you're far better off to maintain those roads and keep them at that high level than let them drop below that 80% level, because then the degradation escalates incredibly fast. And these roads are in that area of degradation, and we have just got to take care of them. And we're the ones feeling the impacts. Our poor road department cannot keep up with them. And to expect them to maintain these roads at a level where agriculture and industry and rural and the private citizens can still use those is dropping off significantly. And I would say, no, we cannot. I'm probably sticking my neck out, but we can't wait any longer. We have got to maintain these roads. And Candace probably gets tired of me saying it, but this is the Golden Goose area. These are the access roads to Leland Bench. This is where a lot of your oil and gas comes from. And when we start trying to minimize the impacts, then we're just restricting the funding that comes back to the CIB. If you looked at the $100 million that we've contributed to the CIB alone over the last 4 years, it's significant. And I don't want to see that starting to drop off, because industry says, we can't drive our trucks on these roads anymore. We're going to take our money and go somewhere else. We really need your support and your funding to maintain this high level of funding that comes back to the CIB. So,
can I ask my question maybe a little
bit? Yes, I'm sorry.
I understand the need for them. Like, I fully understand that this is completely a project that should be funded by CIB. Let me ask a little bit different, okay, because I don't think you quite grasp. If we gave you the full $11.45 million today, how soon would you draw that down completely?
Well, the RFPs are ready to go out, and we're hoping to start work on this road within the next 60 days. It takes a little while for the RFPs to come back and to review those and for the board to meet and decide on who we would like to do that.
Yeah.
But once it's done, it will move quite rapidly.
So engineering's done and ready to go?
No, the engineering. Jones and DeMille has been extremely helpful. And I shouldn't put Bart on the spot, but he's doing this all non gratis. We haven't paid Jones and DeMille a penny.
They don't need it. They have money.
It's not fair for us to keep asking them to commit to this project, and they have just been more than willing to help. And they may not even get the project. It may not be awarded to them. But we are, as soon as we know that we have the funding, then we can move forward.
But the question still is that, can you take $5 million today and then wait 3, 4 months, 5 months, next month, that we can give you the rest of the money? You're not going to use it all in once.
If we were guaranteed, we would get that in the next 3 or 4 months, because we don't want to get stuck in the middle of a project and not have the funding.
We wouldn't want to do that either.
And see, that's kind of a... Yeah. I think we would consider it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
As a road specialist for the UDOT, I know that you use those words eloquently. The chip away, I don't know if it was a pun intended or not, chip away. You talk about the waffling, you talk about the alligator skin, it's all the phrases that is applies to the road. And I know road has to be maintained in order to be able to preserve it. The sooner the better, yes. You're right 100%. But the question is that, can you use $11 million tomorrow? If not, May we need you to help the other people to get their projects also done, and then we'll give you the rest of the money? That's the question.
I wish I had an answer for you. I just know that we need to move forward with this project as soon as possible.
We will approve the project today. We will approve. Is that your intent?
Yeah, we don't want to delay the project. I think, you know, you've made a good case that this is something that you need to move on now, and we don't want to delay the start of the project at all. Okay, so what we're asking is, you know, if we give you some assurances that you're at the front of the line at the next CID funding, can you get started but take a haircut today? That's the real question.
I think we could. Yes.
You don't want to. We know that.
Yeah.
I know this really needs to be the board deciding this, but we can go back and talk to them. And I think we want to work together, and we're willing to look at those options.
When we start road projects, we don't give them right the money up front. They give us the invoices based on the phases they accomplish. So you can have the phase one finish. We give you the $5 million today or $6 million today. Phase two, by the time you finish, the money will be ready for your payment. So you get an approved today. The project will be approved. I'm sure that Mr. Slaw will motion for that. But it will be approved with the intention that we'll give you in the two segments, payments.
Funding part now. You just said $5 million now?
$5 or $6 million, whatever Mr. Slaw is going to promotion.
Well, I wouldn't suggest that this is the only project that could...
Right, but I'm just saying, yeah.
Haircut, right? So I would err on the side of cutting it less.
Okay.
And then maybe cutting some other projects that can afford it as well, so that we're not just picking on this one project.
No, but this is the largest one.
Commissioner Taylor and then Commissioner Miles.
Candace, there's $8 million in grant that could go right now, correct?
No, they have to spend the loan first. Huh.
Is that correct? Spend the loan first?
Yes.
When funding is grant and loan, the loan is allocated first to the project, not the grant.
Okay.
You could choose to fund this, and I'm just... There are two pots of money. The pot of money that is in the red is the bonus fund, which is all the loans. You can move their loan and fund this today in out of the mineral lease, which we can do. But you, the problem with that is, and then move Kane County back over to the mineral lease or to the bonus fund, because right now your balances reflect how they're taken out of on the financial sheet right there. So it's easy to take. I mean, we haven't allocated anything. This was to give you a ballpark balance of what you have to work with. If you wanted to fund this one in its entirety or however, then you would allocate maybe percentages of grant and loan, and we can take it all out of the mineral lease account and move Kane County back over for consideration out of the bonus fund, which gives ample in the mineral lease to fund this road project. Okay.
Commissioner,
what is the duration of the project? I mean, start to finish right now.
That's an engineering question.
The engineering would take 2 to 3 months, and then construction could start this summer. Then I anticipate it would take the remainder of this construction year and then probably spill into next year a little bit. That's my 1.5 years my opinion. Okay. So
my question, and this isn't a smackdown or being ultra critical, but if you were already planning on spending $1 million, why haven't you contracted with Jones and Amale or selected it? If you were planning on putting in $1 million, why haven't you contracted with an engineer to get the engineering work done? You know that you need to fix the road. Why haven't you done that?
If it's okay, I'll speak a little bit to that. There was some reorganization of our special service districts, and this district has been trying to reestablish, and that has taken a lot of our time and effort trying to stand it back up, and there hasn't been able to be the focus on the projects. We've been transferring projects from the USSD 1 back over to transportation. That has taken quite an effort. I've talked several times with Candace about that to help us with that, and we have an attorney, and we've talked with engineers to help with that, and I think that's part of the reason we haven't been as forward with getting the engineering and that going. We were working on an RFP right now to get it out.
Yeah.
So we are trying to get there. We do have four other projects that only one of them is CIB related that we are working on as well. So it's taking a little bit more of our time to try to focus and get going on those projects.
Thank you.
Commissioner.
Yes, Commissioner Bartholomew.
So, and this might not be the right time for this, but I'm looking down through the list here at these other projects. And we've got at least two other big projects here, Washington County and Kane County. Are they ready to go at this point? I mean, is it fair to take everything from these guys when you've got these other big projects also?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, let me answer that real quick. Point taking, but I mean, what we're doing is we're evaluating each of these on a case by case basis, and there's really three projects probably in total where there's an opportunity to come up with the funds we need. So this is step one of three, you know, and that's what we're doing is we're evaluating and flushing out, you know, what we can work out here with these folks. And what I'm hearing is there's opportunity here. There's a lot of opportunity here, you know, to bridge the gap that we need. That doesn't mean we're going to not evaluate and scrutinize or, you know, critique or explore other opportunities with other projects, but this is just step one. So we're not picking on UNA County. Yes, sir.
With that in mind, I guess the one thing I still want, and maybe it's just for me, but the way I think there's a prioritization also that can be applied to it in terms of the producing counties, and even though it's a big chunk of money, I think that priority rides above, in my perspective at least, as a proponent maybe for the AOG, but also for the board, who I'm working for more than the AOG at this point, is that they are a producing county. They do have the impacts. And with that in mind, to me, that sets them a step above even before we start seeing if they can get a haircut. Mm-hmm. For now, if it can't be accomplished with the lower, less producing or non-producing counties. For discussion's sake,
so do we want to move on? This, just for the sake of efficiency, here's an idea. Once we're finished with our conversation with our friends from UNA County, do we want to move on to the next kind of large project, which would be Kane County? Or I guess there's Casa Valley SSD. No. But instead of strolling everybody up here, let's just target these projects where we want to.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Candace has a genius way of doing this two big projects, small projects combination to the point that we can all even fund every one of the projects today. So give her the opportunity to explain to all of us how do we need the approach.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, the board is still asked to go through and question some of these other projects.
Sure.
But if we want to talk about solutions right now while the thought's fresh, let's do it.
I'm going to, if I might, share my screen.
I switched my battery in the last direction.
Oh, I'm not hooked to the projector. With what you see up there on the board, and I don't really...
I don't have a genius idea, but I suggested we move the loan for Kane County back into the bonus side And then you can move any of those other loans up to that $5 million mark into the bonus. The bonus fund can go out at 0% or interest-bearing loan. So it's not restricted. But, I mean, the mineral lease. That far left loan column is what? It comes out of a different account, which in statute is required to bear an interest. So any 0% loans. So this was just an option that was provided to the board that Kane County would come out of the mineral lease, which the mineral lease had money to fund it. Move Kane County back into the bonus side, and then move whatever loans you want to fund today out of this account, if others can wait, into the mineral lease account, because there will then be $5 million to allocate. Which my discussion with Nagi, and it really is up to the board, was that you could move the loan from Uinta Transportation into the mineral column. And I'm not hooked to the projector, but I am hooked to the sheet that can move. And if we move I'm just going to do a quick, and if you want to keep discussing if that's a viable option, I can show you or give you a balance with that scenario that the loan, actually both loans, we could take Ashley Valley's and Uinta County's out of the mineral account, mineral lease loan portion. And those, and then you'd still have to decide about everybody else. That would still leave the bonus fund with decisions to make for how you deem to prioritize the funding, or can they wait?
I just need a quick reminder, because I got confused as you were speaking. Bonus fund, what's the flexibility on interest rates on the bonus fund?
The board establishes the interest rate, but it must bear interest. Can't be a zero.
That's my question. Yeah. Bonus must have interest.
Mineral lease is grant, zero, or a percentage.
Okay. Can I ask you a question? Okay, so I guess I'm not understanding, Candace, because how we shuffle this between bonus and mineral lease doesn't give us $5.7 million. Because my understanding is we're 5.7 short. If you combine the bonus and mineral lease, right?
No.
Or not?
I want you to look at the screen right now.
So you can see we kind of...
All we got to do is shuffle money back over to the other account, and then we're fine?
That's it.
Well, no, you're not fine, because you have a lot of... But...
The balance shows...
That makes no sense, does it? So this is the where the funds are allocated for these current projects. And sorry, it's a lot of mess. It's in this gray area right here. These are the ones you're discussing. Some of them are full, but this is...
We're inviting our financial analysts back up.
Okay. Washington County is right here. It's taken out of the bonus loan, and I need to allocate Kane County now. We'll go back over to the, as you see, moving Kane County back out of the bonus fund. Because this is what it looks like now. See, Kane County isn't out of this column. This is the mineral lease column. These two right here are mineral lease account 5285. This is 5290, which is the rents paid on mineral bonus land, and in statute have to go out at interest-bearing loans. Did you want to add anything, Kaylee?
No, I don't want to add anything, but I... That won't.
What Kurt is saying, I am following what you're doing, but reallocating it from mineral lease and bonus fund doesn't change the fact that we're still short $5.7 million, which is what you just alluded to.
Right.
Yeah, that's correct. Sure.
However, it gives them the opportunity, and just dealing with Uinta Transportation, we can move that funding into the mineral lease column, and it has the ability to be funded today.
If we don't fund King County, that's what you're saying.
Right. So well, you had to decide anyway. Who do you want to fund? But that's how it runs.
That's why we need to finish the discussion.
Okay. That's right.
Let's finish the discussion, and then we can talk about how we move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Are we finished up with this discussion with Uinta County to move
yes.
on?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Don't give up on us.
Okay. Up next, do we want to hear from Castle Valley SSD, or do we want to move on to Kane County? Does anyone have any intention of working on the Castle Valley SSD application at all?
I think Kane and Washington, okay, so let's do that.
So I'll invite the representatives from Kane County to come up and join us at the table. And I will open up, we'll wait for these gentlemen. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
You bet. I'll open it up to the board for questions for the applicant.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
So my question was the same. Can you wait until next funding?
Yeah. So can I just explain the situation, and then I hope that it'll answer the question that you're asking.
Okay.
Can you introduce yourself?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I'm Kurt Lovelace, and I'm the CEO at King County Hospital.
Mark Anderson, Zions Public Finance.
Pardon me. Do you have somebody from the county, or how's this?
So our board chair, Jeff Mosdell, that was with us last time, did not come with me this time. He's doing funerals. Sorry. He's a mortician, and he couldn't come. He's doing funerals today. So apologize for that. So we are working on a combined $20 million bond application. When I say combined, it's $5 million of the CIB money and $15 million of private investment money. And when we go to do the bonds, that's why we have Zions Finance with us. We're working on a combined bond. Foreseeably, if that bond is approved, I could borrow the $15 million first and not draw the $5 million, but in order to present the bonds out to the public and get the bonds approved, I need to know that the CIB is going to do the $5 million.
Okay.
So, to answer your question, can the $5 million be delayed? Yes. Can it be delayed and then not granted? Then that would upset the bond instrument.
Sure.
Does that make sense? And so, we would like to just, if this committee says, yes, we will do the $5 million, then we can move forward with the bonds, but we wouldn't need to draw that $5 million right away because I would take from the $15 million. Okay? So I know that there was a question asked about, are you shovel ready? I am sitting on the, I have the building permit, and I'm sitting on the dirt work bids. We're reviewing those next Tuesday at our board meeting on the 11th. And so we will award the earth moving company their bid, and we will move dirt in March. So that's the timing that we're on is we'll start moving dirt in March. But like I said, I can draw down from the other source before CIB. I just need to know that we're going to get the CIB. Does that make sense?
Mr. Chair, I just have a question. And this is not, you know, for this project specific, but the discussion as a whole. Can we move approval to the next funding cycle? From this funding cycle to the next?
Yeah, we can put it pending.
So it would just, yeah, it would basically go into the next round as a already on the priority list, yeah. Essentially, right? Or just
we can put them on the pending.
But we can't tell them 100% for sure.
Yeah, what he's asking is, can we put this to the next funding and then guaranteed that they will get it in the next funding and take that off the top?
What's the definition of pending?
Well, it's not going to approve today, so we approve it and just pending funding for the next trimester.
That's what I thought.
But guarantee him that we're going to take that off the top.
So that he's got, you know, I guess specific to this project, so that he's got assurance that he can take back to, you know, his constituency.
Right.
And show for the bond approval that they have money secured.
Yeah. Otherwise, they'd be looking to borrow $20 million from another source versus yeah. 15.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me. Do we have objections from staff?
It's kind of fuzzy. You're going to put it on the priority list for potential funding at April 3rd meeting? Or...
No, it would be for the next
or June.
June. That would be funding June. Meeting.
So it wouldn't get funded till June. You have a list of applications that were submitted for the February application deadline, which are also going to be up to for consideration of funding. And you'll discuss them April 3rd. So you're going to put this on until we have money, which is fair and it's doable, and the board can do that. The funds won't be allocated, won't be appropriated, or even taken out of our fund balance until you approve it, because they never are. These are just speculative, you know. That financial sheet is if you do this, then this. So we're not in the red. But if I'm clear, you can decide to put this off till the next funding
meeting, which is June. But I
guess we don't want to put it off. We
just don't want to appropriate the funds.
I guess to answer my own question, probably we can't allocate funds that we don't have.
Correct.
So how could we give them approval if we don't have?
We put projects on the priority list all the time before we got the money.
That's right.
We just don't fund them.
Pending risk.
You haven't approved funding. It's still writing. The application and the project has not gone away. It'll sit on the priority list.
But is that going to be good enough for the bank to say okay?
Well, it's not the bank's decision. It's really the issue where the hospital, you know, how strong of a commitment is the board willing to?
I guess bond council. Would bond council approve something like that? Any idea?
Yeah, approve.
No, Bill is there, but
Bill? We can issue bonds until we have a letter of authorization.
Right. They can approve the bond, but not issue it. So their bond resolution could say, we are authorizing two bonds, they don't have to be taken down at the same time. But I don't know whether that solves their problem, because you haven't committed the funds for the $5 million bond. So they've authorized proceeding, but they don't have any assurance that they'll actually buy that second bond.
The district has already adopted a parameters resolution authorizing the issuance of up to $20 million worth of bonds, and have held their public hearing. So they're really positioned to where they could act quickly once they have authorization.
Thank you. I've taken us down a rabbit hole. I'm sorry, but that's good. Thanks.
Wait,
for that.
Mr. Rabbit Hole, just real quick, on that bond, what percent are you looking at with you?
On the private funding bond? That's going to... It fluctuates, obviously, but we've been looking at rates between 4.25% and 4.75%, depending on, you know, what month we've looked at it. Okay. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We can motion to approve the funding subject to trimester under June that. So we can approve the applicant.
Let's hear
done
from
that.
Washington County right. first before we make any
motions. I'm just saying that can be done, you know.
That could be done.
Approved application subject to funding and trimester, June trimester.
Quick clarification.
Yeah. Yes.
When we get the list today, is it the it's the priority list? We could put them on the pending, which would give them the security that you're talking about, Nagi. Is that right?
If we approve the application, yes. Otherwise, they don't have any warning.
Am I understanding that the right way?
Not sure I'm understanding it. You can't, don't approve anything you don't have.
Right.
So it wouldn't be approved. It would be on the pending list. It could. And it's the same as being on the priority list, except that when you're on the pending list and you've been discussed, the board can bring it back at any meeting.
Any month. Okay, thank you.
If you're on the priority list, you wait until the next funding meeting.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Any more questions for this applicant?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate everybody. Thanks.
You bet. Okay, up next, I'll invite representatives from the Washington County Special Service District Number 1 requesting $5 million in loan, 30 years at 4% for the 2024 Landfill Safety Infrastructure Phase 3. Welcome, and please introduce yourselves, and then I'll open up to the board for questions.
Thank you, Board. My name is Kevin Kuntz. I'm the district manager for Washington County Special Service District Number 1. Chairman Coates, who was with us last time, was not able to travel. However, I do believe that he is online and participating remotely as well. So.
Thank you. Questions?
Well, we're asking everybody the same questions.
Yeah.
And the question would be, how shovel-ready is it? And what would happen if we delayed your funding for till the next funding cycle, I guess?
Yes. We are shovel ready as of March. We have contractors are in place. We have the parameters resolution passed by the board already on Monday. We have our final public hearing. So basically, we're ready to go. We have assets assembled, so we are on the verge of digging dirt based upon the approval and of the award of the
money. What's the parameters resolution?
It is a resolution adopted by the governing body that indicates their intent to issue bonds. And it defines the maximum amount of bonds they would issue, the maximum interest rate that would be paid, the maximum term for which the bonds would be outstanding, and the maximum discount that the bonds would be sold at, which isn't applicable in this case. And it also schedules a public hearing to allow the public to come in and express support for or opposition to the issuance of bonds.
Can you remind the board how much of Phase 3 is being funded through other sources other than CIB and what those sources are?
So the Phase 3 project is determined to be about $6.5 million, and we will be funding internally that $1.5 above the $5
million. And you're bonding for that then?
So
the bonding. So when you say parameters resolution, what are you talking about there?
They've adopted a parameters resolution that indicates the intent to borrow up to $5 million.
At what percent?
Are you talking about 4%. For CIB?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so yes. This is just our internal
correct
per parameters
correct
resolution.
Yeah, okay. We've done all the preparatory work to get the board approval based upon the feedback that we received last meeting at the 4% for 30 years. So that has been approved by the board. If this board approves that money, then we will be ready to go. We do have a public hearing scheduled for Monday. But assets are assembled, and we could be digging dirt as early as March.
So my question is, what would a market rate bonding look like if you were to just go to the market with Washington's, I think, what's your bond rating? Maybe a double A?
They don't have any outstanding bonds that are rated. The only bonds that they have are the ones that were issued with CIB last year.
So they have no bonds, no revenue bonds, no geo bonds?
Well, they have revenue bonds that are owned by CIB for the first two phases.
Yeah. Okay.
Other than that, they don't have any outstanding debt.
Okay.
But so they would be looking at something similar to Kane County and a private placement, and if it were to go to market, it would be very close, you know, possibly even lower than what's being offered. It's just.
So why wouldn't we want to do that?
Well, the call flexibility that's available through CIB has value.
Paperwork, timing.
And you don't have to go through the bond rating process and draft official statements. And
okay, so there's a little bit of additional hassle. We go through that process a lot. I know there's some cost and hassle, but it seems like if the county's going to be better off and it frees up money for other projects, it seems to make sense to me. Have them go do a market rate deal, especially if the county doesn't have any other debt. They should be able to sell this really easily, I would think.
Agree.
Yeah. Other questions? Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
So,
does the board want to have some discussion after having our conversations with the applicants, or do we want to move into motions? Or yes, Commissioner.
I think it's fair to bring up, and it's along with the discussion that we've already started. Uinta County is number one on mineral production, and they get a return of about 54 cents on every dollar that they contribute. Kane County is number seven. They get a lot bigger return. Washington County is number 18. And have contributed a whopping $170,000. I think we have to take that into consideration as far as this money going back to actually offset the impacts of mineral production.
Yeah, thank you for your comments.
Relevant indeed. So again, do we want to go back through the list and start entertaining approvals on a project by project basis, kind of starting back up where we left off, or what makes the most sense for us?
I think we ought to have a discussion on where we think the 5'7" should come from.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
You want to lead us off?
Well, first of all, I would say if all we're saving Washington County is a little bit of cost of issuance hassle and, you know, a little bit of red tape, I would almost say that's probably let's cut that one, because then we don't have to put somebody in front. Because I'm also looking at the projects that we have coming down the pike, and if we put, you know, Uinta County or King County at the front of the line, that only compounds our issue that we're going to have at the next funding cycle, right? And this was what I was worried about. If we keep, you know, approving too much, then that's what happens. There becomes this line, and you got to stay in line, like, you know, a whole year or something sometimes to get your project done. That doesn't work well for some projects, mm-hmm. right? I want to be able to continue to fund projects, especially important projects as they come up, and if we keep putting more and more people in the front of the line because we get the funding cycles and we don't have enough money, we can't do that. And so mm-hmm. my preferred option would be to just cut the Washington County deal altogether, have them do a market rate issuance, and then I know that we're still a million short, and we can talk about whether that should come from Kane or Uinta.
Yeah.
But either one of those, we would tell them they can you know, get at the front of the line, and we're not.
Yeah. Yeah, it frees up a lot of capital. I mean, you know, I think where we compensated for that when we placed them on the priority list was at the higher interest rate, but if we're being told that they think they can beat the rate in the market.
And I don't know that they could on a 30-year loan. I think they, I don't know, I guess they'd be more like the 4.5 range, but still it's within, it's not saving them that much, you know, to come through CIB, and so...
Yeah.
It's really just saving them the hassles of issuance, you know, and so.
Yes, sir.
To go along with that, I'm just looking here. They're a 28 of 100 on your scale here.
28 of 100?
Yep. Points.
Oh.
So, you know, it fits with what you're saying.
Project ranks, though.
Yeah. Right, yeah. That's, yeah. They shouldn't be prioritized above, say, like UNA County and stuff that's bringing in all the...
That's good.
How does Kane County rank? How does Kane County rank?
58.
And UNO is what?
I guess it's here, and I didn't see. 70. No, I'm sorry. 68.
Yeah, 68.
Yeah.
So, Kurt, are you
going
to put that into a motion?
Well, I think we'll
just go review.
Yeah. So, what Kurt's suggested and what we're discussing is not funding the Washington County project as a means with the rationalization you provided, which you know we've discussed as a means to clear the gap. We'll jump back into the meeting. That frees up. Well, what do we need? 5.7.
And look for the last 800,000.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
750,000.
We'll pay attention to the bean count.
Yeah.
Finance people will let you round down. They'll never let you round up. Have you noticed that?
So
cancel it all together or just postpone it until further times for the Washington County? Put them on the pending list?
Well, I would just say cut it at this point and tell them go do a market rate issuance.
Well, okay. And I do feel bad. I mean, we've led them along thinking that there was a possibility, and I think it's at some point it's better for them to release them and let them go get it in the market instead of stringing them along hoping.
Probably should have had this discussion more in depth 4 months ago or whatever it was. We've actually put them behind 4 months.
December
was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, 2 months.
I think Mr. Anderson from Zions Bake would like to come and make some more comments. I don't know if you're amenable to that.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
I apologize. I do want to say that the interest rate would be higher because this is a 30-year loan versus a 20-year loan versus Kane County. And part of the sensitivity is the board's hoping to issue this debt so that it doesn't immediately affect it, the rates of the users. And so the rate I said was not, it's not attainable on a 30-year loan.
Well, I think you'd be slightly above, but it's not saving you that much. So.
Yeah, the parameters resolution that's been adopted is at 4%, so they'd have to start that process over again as well.
Right.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other discussion before we jump back into approvals?
Well, I guess the next question would be
750.
Yeah, where would you target the 750? Or and really, I don't know. I know Uinta County's already coming back for another million, so I don't know if that's a good place to cut another 750 and then have them come back for that or.
Yeah. Especially where you could move it out over, because it's going to take a year to get all that money spent.
Mm-hmm. I have a comment or question.
Yes.
Or suggestion, maybe. Maybe this is, and we'll see what the temperature is to the thought, but what about now going through the rest of these projects with this, the same questions, finding out how flexible they are with moving down the road. It's a lot different moving 750,000 versus 5 million if we're going to add them on to the list that's accruing as we speak, and see if anybody does have delay built into them could hold off for a little bit or not. I don't know. Or shovel readiness as well. But we're talking smaller projects, so it would take more than one project to get there. So I understand the idea of talking to UNA, but at the same time, I do think they've been open and honest about what, where they're pushed to in terms of trying to get it done. Understanding the fact that maybe we allocate a portion, the portion they need to get the portion of work done with a commitment without locking up as much. Is that, I'm trying to restate a little bit of what you just said. Get them started, in essence.
Yeah. I would, from the sake of us getting our business done, it would, I mean, it would sure be clean in terms of a process if we were able to get any movement from UNA to close that $750,000 gap, and then we can go through the rest of our meeting and get our business done.
Right.
But if we,
but
if,
I'm hesitant to push on them that hard.
Yeah.
If we don't find a way to have it, well, not committed in funds, but at the same time make it work in terms of even the priority rankings.
So here's another thought too. What would happen? Could, like, maybe we ought to get Kane County back up here and ask him if we just cut 750, like not have them come back for the additional 750, but just cut 750 from the funding. You know, would they be able to get that with their market issuance
as well?
Pick that up with the market issuance that they're doing, and you know, I know they look at the CIB stuff because I think CIB is willing to be subordinate, right? So it helps the bondholders to have, you know, some subordinate debt. No. Is it not subordinated?
I think it's the other way around.
Is it the other way around? It's parity. Okay. So really, that wouldn't be too big of a difference for them either to just, and that, I feel better about that than putting everybody in line ahead of all of our new applicants, because you never know what kind of important projects are coming down the line too, and if we start creating a line for everybody, you got to get in line. I just don't think that's a great way to handle the funding issues either.
So I'm with you on that. So you guys want to go? You want to go through the remaining projects and
or talk to Kane?
Well, can we bring Kane back? Up?
Kane, sure. Kane's ready to come up. I think.
Come on up, Kane. Take us home, baby.
$4,025,000
I really appreciate the discussion and the dilemma that you guys are in. And to your point, we could shift that 750 to the private investor. And in order to move things along and make it easier for you guys, I would propose that we change our amount to $4,250,000.
Okay.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank
you. And then that will, if we could get that, you know, commitment to fund today, then that makes it easier for you guys. We can do that, and with great appreciation.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's almost a standing applause.
Okay. So
here on the Christmas card.
I'm gonna call for a vote. Or I'm sorry. I would like to.
Let's make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Ask a motion. Yes, sir.
I make a motion to do the 4.25 loan, 25 years at 3% for Kane County, as stated.
Second. Motion made by Chairman Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, I'll call for a vote, please, Ms. Powers.
I got to find King County.
4.7.
4.7.
Thank you for your patience. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Gone to sleep.
Did you say Dean?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously for a $4,250,000 loan, 25 years at 3%.
Correct. Thanks. Congratulations, Kane County. Thank you.
Who made that motion?
Ms. Powers, can we lump in the remaining in a motion?
Well, Mr.
Washington
Chair,
County, yes. Would probably be a separate.
I would make a motion on the Washington County Special Service District number one application, if I could.
Yes.
I would make a motion we deny the application.
Second it.
Motion to deny Washington County's application, seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. Questions, discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote, please.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Nay.
That motion passes with one against and the chairman abstaining.
Okay. Do we have a motion for Central Valley Town?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve $287,394.
Are we prepared to make the rest of the list one motion?
I would like to, yeah. Yeah. Let's do that. Are you comfortable with that?
I amend my motion to approve all the rest of them as requested.
Seconds. As requested? Yeah.
Well, as previously approved, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Does this include 4.2?
Yep.
You in the draft?
We didn't make a motion on that one.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
it includes 4.2, 4.3, 4.4, 4.5, 4.6, 4.7 with the adjusted requested amount, 4.25, 4.8, 4.9 is not included in this motion. 4.10, 4.11.
So, Chairman,
as requested,
you already voted on
4.7.
Excuse me. Yeah, excuse me. 4.7 is admitted as well as 4.9. Thank you, Justin.
Good catch.
Okay. So that motion is made by Commissioner Brown, seconded by
Commissioner. Any of us.
No, I didn't.
We all did.
I'll second. Seconded by Commissioner Taylor, since he's raising his hand. Call for a vote, please, Ms. Powers.
This is to fund as placed on the priority list 4.2, 4.4, 4.6, 4.7.
Nope.
That's right.
No.
4.7 was already approved.
Okay. 4.8. 4.9.
Nope. No.
Denied.
4.7 and 4.9 are not on
4.11.
This
10 and 11 are.
Are you ready?
Are you ready? And I'm not, I don't mean to sound facetious.
It's a fact. Are you ready, Kaylee? Okay.
Kaylee's ready.
Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Aye.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimous with the chairman abstaining.
Okay. Thank you, and congratulations, and thank you to all the applicants.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
The mayor's texting me. Did we make sure 4.3 is in on the approved list?
Yeah. Yes.
Central Valley Town is on the approved list.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was trying to tell him, just clarifying for him. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, item 8.1 under special consideration, we discussed this in my briefing, and you know, I suggested to not this. I don't know. Have you had any contact with Castle Valley Town on this, Bill?
Nothing whatsoever.
So I haven't either, and they haven't held their their public hearing yet, and there's a lack of certainty that they qualify for the specification for a special consideration, and so I would just suggest that we either deny the request, probably, especially since we're out of money. But that's background on that item.
I don't believe they're on the agenda.
There was nothing.
Okay, it's on my agenda. So
Well, it was, it has been removed.
Okay, never mind then.
Good.
That's a big never mind. Okay, up next, item 9-1. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take just a brief break?
Yes.
Yep. And then when we get back, we're going to have an awesome presentation. So we'll take 10.
Okay.
You bet. Nice job, guys.
I probably should sit down.
That'd be interesting to see. Okay. Who gets what they want more, you or me?
I like it.
You're on. You could
okay, we go.
Yeah, dimly lit. It knows who's sitting in front of us. So it's kind of dimming down. It's not
you're
really
just
excited.
Sucking all the electricity out of it.
Something like that.
Introduction. Call the officials.
You decide. Did anybody get a phone call or anything right when we broke so she knows what time we broke?
Okay. Probably around 10:30. What time did we break?
Are we live, Paul? Okay, before we jump into the presentation, I want to recognize Cody Christensen, who's here with the Five County AOG, and he's our new representative. So welcome.
Thank you. I'd like to, moment of personal privilege, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Cody taught me in school.
Oh, he's not that old.
He is.
I'm sorry, Cody.
I had a desktop publishing class from Cody when I was a junior in high school. That was his first year of teaching. And
wow.
Cody, he was a young teacher.
He was a young teacher. Cody is a great individual. So
awesome.
He is.
Thanks for being here, Cody. Glad to be here. You bet. Okay, we have a gentleman from the R6 Regional Council that are going to give us an update on the CIB one list pilot. So we have Mr. Travis Keel. Thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you.
And remind me your name.
Shay Morrison.
Shay,
I'm a community advisor with R6.
Thank you for being here, Shay. So we'll turn it over to you, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the board. Appreciate the opportunity to be here to visit with you and show you what we've put together. I want you to think hypothetically with me for just a minute. What if the day came where you don't have enough money to fund all the projects that have applied?
Aren't you a smart-ass?
Hypothetically. And what if during that meeting Mr. Slaw said something out loud like, well, we just don't know what important projects are coming down the pipeline, and if only we knew, that would help us make better decisions. So he's on record.
This is like Shark Tank stuff.
I think it's AI.
I think we got to start holding parts that never mind.
So anyway, we are really excited about this. We're excited to show you today. We're super appreciative. So as a quick reminder, you did fund this pilot for us to go out and see if this could actually be done. I know most of you in this room been at this for 17 years, working at the AOG and dealing with CIB and infrastructure projects throughout rural Utah. For at least the last decade, myself, all of you in this room, the governor, the legislature, everybody has been begging and wondering, is there a way to really know what's out there? Personally, myself, I've been at the legislature, I've been with the governor and said, hey, we need more money for infrastructure projects in rural Utah. And they're very smart and they say, great, how much and what for? And they do that because they know we don't have an answer. We don't have a really good list of what's coming down the pipeline and what's it going to cost. So this was our attempt to fix that. And so we've created and built what we're calling the Utah Project Portal. We did an RFP down at R6. We hired Jones and ML Engineering to build this for us, and they did such a phenomenal job. This is built from the ground up. This is built just for us, just for Utah.
And there's such great value here that I think you'll see. We've shown this to lots of people. Everybody loves it. Right now we do have a small funding commitment from GOPB, the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget. And everybody from DNR and all their leadership has seen it. The governor has seen it. His chief has seen it. Members of the legislature have seen it. And we're just excited to show you today.
Has so this, the other AOG seen it?
They have. Yep. So we, a couple things we wanted to start with. It has to be online. This can't be a spreadsheet. This can't be a software that someone has to download to their computer. So this is hosted online. Right now it's at utahprojects.org. As we demo this today, please know that the data you're going to see in it is make-believe. So please, if you go to this later on or look at this, please don't buy into the data that's there. A couple challenges we've had over the years that you guys are all well aware of. Number one is not having a wish list, right? There has to be some kind of a keeper of the gate mechanism to make sure that the projects on the list or the projects we're looking at are real and they're actually going to happen. We've been through lots of wish lists in the past. To mitigate that, right now the AOGs are in a great position because the state has funded additional resources at the AOGs. We have additional staff there working throughout the communities. And we'll demonstrate this to you here in just one second, but anytime a project wants to be on the one-year list, it has to be approved by the AOG. All projects have to be approved, but on the one-year list for sure, the AOG is going to say, yes, I am working with this community. This really is happening. Number two, all projects on the one-year list have to have an engineer's estimate attached to it. You all are well aware so many times we think a project might be a $1 million water project when it really is, you know, $2 or $3 or $4 million. So this only works if the data is good, right? If we put crappy data into this, it's worthless. And so we've mitigated those issues. So you go to the website, this is what you see. Tried to make it super simple to start with. You kind of have two options right there in the center of the screen that make it easy. You can click on all projects or you can click on government entities. I'll go ahead and start by going to all projects. Brings up this really easy to use search feature. So down the left hand side there, you can see all the different ways that we can search for projects in this portal. So right now it defaults to R6. We're the only ones that have any data in it right now for the pilot. But you can see there you can search by entity, by county, project type, project subtype, time frame, priority, various revenue sources, and then project status, which it defaults to not started and in progress or approval status. So just to play a little game, so let's just say you wanted to see all the water projects that were coming down the pipeline. I can click on project type. You can see all the different options here for projects. If I scroll down and hit water and just do a quick, brief search, there's a list of all the water projects that are currently in the system in the R6 region. You can see them, obviously, in this view that gives you a lot of information as you look across. I can click on right up here and see a nice tiled view to kind of have it all put together in a single tile. And then one that we really like is our analytics view. Pops up something like this. So you can see in my region, if you just select water, we've got $31 million worth of projects. The average cost is $1.9 million. There's 16 projects. This graph at the top shows you where they think they're going to ask for their money. And so you can see CIB is $16 million of that they think is coming from CIB. Other charts and graphs here at the bottom that you can modify and dictate what you want to see there. So, again, this is all projects. So then you're going to say, well, Travis, that's not reality. What's really coming down the pipeline in the next 12 months. So if I click on time frame, I switch this to 1 year, click search, and there's our projects coming in the next 1 year. There's seven of them, $11 million total. And again, you know that these projects have been vetted by the AOG. The AOG has worked with the community and said, yes, they are actually working on this. They are actually going to apply in the next 12 months. And of that $9.9 million is what they think is coming from CIB. So as they enter projects in the portal, all this information is gathered, and they have to put in there, hey, this is where I think I'm going to ask for the money, and so you know. So this can very easily be sorted. I can just click clear down here, go to revenue source right here. You can click CIB and click search, and so every project that thinks they're coming to CIB for money out of my region is right there. $72 million worth of projects for CIB.
And again, you can dummy that down to just 1 year. We do force each community in the system to prioritize their own projects. And we don't do that just with a high, medium, and low. They literally have to select, this is my number one project. This is number two. So you could say, well, those are all the CIB ones. Again, we just want to look at the short term, what's happening in the next year. And I only want to deal with communities' number one priority projects. And that's what the reality from my region coming to this board in the next year is $31 million.
Just because I can't read it from here. So, like, drink, this is water projects. Drink, if they're getting funding from drinking water, it would show up.
Correct. Yes, sir. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, so when I cleared it, I pulled off of water. So this shows you all the projects that think they're getting CIB money, and it is hard to see up there. But this graph right here would show you that of the total projects, 20... $6 million from CIB, and then, yeah, as you look at these other ones, it has all the other funds built in of where they think they're bringing their money from. And so that just gives you a nice, real quick analytics view. Again, you can switch back over to the tiled view or to the list view right here and look at each one. So, you know, Glenwood is a road improvement project. It's in Sevier County. It's on the short-term one-year list. It's their number one priority. It's in transportation. Tells you their duration, tells you all the information that you would need to know for that project. So it tells you really, you know, back to Mr. Slaw's question, you know, what's coming down the pipeline. One thing that's fun about it, so if I go back to our main page, I can also click on government entities, or from that search feature we were just on, if you could click on an entity from there. So again, that's hard to see, but this is all of the towns and cities in my region are right here down this left-hand side. So as we scroll down through there, let's click on Mona for 1 second. So every community has a profile page that looks like this. This is beneficial to you and so many people. It's got the mayor's name on it. It's got a phone number. It's got their contact info with their email address. It has their average annual budget. It has their population. And then it gives them an opportunity to list their top three priorities. We did this at the governor's request. They're always wondering, hey, what are Sevier County's top three priorities? And those very well may be projects, but they also may be something just as simple as economic development or job growth that maybe isn't a specific project, but it helps them understand what those priorities are. So then with Mona, you can see it lists their projects out as short-term 1 year. So those three projects right there, they are literally working on today, working forward on those. It's got their medium term, which is 2 to 5 years, long-term, 5 years plus. And then we've also got this cool completed section down here so that you can bring up their profile page at any time and see what have we given them in the past or where else have they gotten project funding from and see what that community's done in the past. And our commitment to this board would be to go in and backdate CIB data into this system so that day one that you start using this, you would have completed data in there. Candace asked for 5 years, and we think we can do that. So, yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm curious who puts the data in for the different regions, communities, counties, as it boils down.
Yeah, we figured the commissioners would do it all. No, I'm just kidding you.
Thank you.
You have plenty of time.
Done.
Yeah, he's really good. So
okay, I don't know about that.
Yeah, so, you know, the way that's going to work, and I can turn it over to Shay here to kind of show you more of that, but, yes, each community would have a login. So, again, they log right into this system, super clean and simple. Shay, why don't you start logging in and can show them how that works. But so the communities would enter them, right, at the community level. They then click submit. When they click submit, it goes to their AOG, to their planners, and the planners get an email that says, hey, Mona submitted a project. Shay gets that. He jumps on, reviews it all, make sure it's correct. If it's not correct, he can send it back to them with some notes that say, hey, you're missing this or this doesn't quite add up. If it looks good, he clicks approve. That's what makes it live on the system. So, again, we've got that check and balance in there to make sure this doesn't just become a wish list. So any admin can add projects as well. So Shay obviously can work with Mona and sit down and do it together. But, yes, every community would have a login to do that.
So this will get rid of the paper.
That's our hope.
The CID application.
Yeah.
It's right now in rule. You change the rule and you can choose this.
It would be definitely be our yeah, and we can have a huge conversation on policy and, yes, how this could work with CIB. This obviously can be modified into a – we want it, I assume you'd want it like in a trimester schedule, right? You're going to want to search by trimester, like, hey, what's coming down the pipeline? So when they select CIB as a funding source –
we think it should ask them the question, when do you think you're going to apply, right? So then they have to choose that trimester and do that type of stuff. So
do you anticipate in the long run that CIB would own this, that it would be their product to the AOGs?
No.
Because, so, only because of what you just discussed in terms of policy and everything else.
Yeah, the state as a whole, so right now, I'll be honest with you, all state funding agencies are wanting to use this. It's that big right now. We do have the capability, and Brian's here with Jones in the Mail, to kind of make the dashboard look different for each agency. So, like, if Outdoor Rec says, yes, we want to use this, maybe when they log in, they see something slightly different than you see the CIB, right? So we can fine-tune the system for each agency with their needs and objectives and what they want. But I'll be honest. So GOPB, I mentioned them. They're already on board. They would like to kind of host it, and kind of be the front page and say, hey, you know, we're pushing this statewide. Each funding source then would need to pay in a little bit of money for those changes or modifications they would like to make. We right now, the recommendation coming down from all aspects is for us to, I hate to use the word own it, right? But for us to own it, where we're a government entity, we already have the contract with Jones and DeMille to do the work. And so it's really simple for government to do business with government. So for GOPB to give us money, it saves a lot of headaches from all the different state agencies having to do separate RFPs and trying to select the right vendor. So that's what's been recommended to us. We're open for whatever you want to do. At the end of the day, we built this really to benefit you all.
Right. No, I appreciate it.
So is there an incentive, I don't want to say force, but require entities to use this? Because if they choose to just ignore it, we're not getting 100% of the data, right?
You're really smart. Yep, great question. Two answers to that. So number one, as Candace mentioned, so our hope and our recommendation would be that, yes, this becomes the list for CIB, right, that no longer do we do these paper lists where we force the communities. We say, hey, you have to have your project on this list. Once a year, we're going to open it up. And if your project's not on it, then you don't get a play for the whole year, because that forces you to throw mud at the wall and see what sticks, right? This is a better process to do it. So if you as CIB were to adopt this as policy and say, hey, we're going to use this, and we can, and again, modify it to where it's not open all the time. If you still only want to accept projects once a year, we can do that. If you want to accept projects three times a year on a trimester schedule, we can do that. We can do whatever you want. But the hope would be that then CIB says, if you want funding from CIB, your project has to be on the list. So that's number one. Number two is, and this is seriously being considered, that if this goes the direction we feel like it's going, that the threshold will be, if you're going to ask for state funds, period, your project has to be on this list. That way, the data is good and it is valuable. So whether it's water resources, whether it's Outdoor Rec, whether it's CIB, it doesn't matter which funding source it is, they know that everybody that's looking for state funding is in here, right? And they can see where else they're trying to ask for money for, right? Get rid of people going around and trying all the different options, as well as then look at the past completed data to see what's been funded. So you could get on here in the future in 5 years, click on Mona, and see every state grant opportunity they've been awarded over 5 years.
Yeah. So from a transparency standpoint,
it's awesome.
Yeah. And from our perspective, right, so I'm a community advisor. I work out with the communities very frequently. We're in their city council meetings, et cetera. I don't think it's a hard sell to the communities to utilize a software piece like this, right? Right now they're using paper or they're using a spreadsheet. I mean, Mona's here today, right? They can tell you that I work with them. Right now they have a spreadsheet for their CIP, right? If you come into the portal, if you log in and you go to the entities, you're going to Mona's page, right? They'll be able to utilize this. It's just a really user-friendly system. I don't think it's a hard sell for those communities, right? So, yeah, we don't want to try to force them or mandate something, right? But it makes sense for state funding, and then just it is a benefit to them too, right?
Yeah, Shay mentioned CIP. That's one thing we push all the time, a capital improvements plan, right, with all of the communities. This is the simplest way for them to get one, right? And our hope is that, basically that is Mona's. I mean, on the screen, that is their capital improvements plan. Right now, in the next 1 year, we're working on these projects. 2 to 5, we're working on these 5 years plus. I mean, there's a huge benefit to the communities as well, on top of just the benefit to funding agencies like yourselves to be able to see what's coming down the pipeline.
You funded this water project today. So this water project on Mona's short-term list was part of your approval today, just as an example.
So, if I could, as you've been developing and in a very positive sense, but it's a negative question that says, what problems have you had, and what do you foresee as problems, and how do you want to fix them? In terms of the what input you've had from people you've been working with.
I mean, I'll be honest, the input back has been extremely positive.
Well, even from the backside, what headaches do you guys see?
I see it as mostly a benefit, honestly. Maybe a downside to it would just be the initial pickup, right? So going and backdating 5 years is going to be a lot of work on our parts, but it'll be extremely useful for projecting out and looking back. You're essentially creating an asset inventory when you go and backdate all of that, so you'll be able to see what projects have been funded. Just sorting through as we work with all the different stages, how it gets kicked up, right? And then if like DNR wants their own drop downs and wants different like bar graphs instead of charts, all that on the back side, yeah, we're going to have to customize with working with Jones and Mill. But then again, like Travis mentioned, this was built from the ground up for that purpose, right? So we can customize it pretty easily.
So like what do they call it now? It's not economic development district.
GOEO, Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity. Yeah.
Their funding sources would be, and I'm assuming that's why they're excited.
Yep. Yeah.
Travis, can anybody be able to, like,
is this public?
Mayors get on and look at what other communities are doing? Everybody
it's totally
can see.
Public.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so the public-facing view, that website, that searchability that I showed you from the very beginning is totally public, right? Then once you log in, you know, you can see some different things. And, you know, once Shay logs in as Mona, he has an add, you know, new project button to add projects. The public obviously don't see those, don't see that option. But, yeah, it's totally public, very transparent.
But that next layer back for data input, which would be the towns,
correct,
communities, whatever.
Yep.
They have a login to get in.
They do.
To your question, the mayor could get in, or any mayor or council person or commissioner could have a login.
Yeah, we're happy to walk through that with you if you'd like to see it.
If I could, correct me if I'm wrong, but Kate's our advisor in our area. Is there any of the mayors that put any of this information in without you knowing that first?
Not with this pilot.
With these applications, though, even.
No, we're trying to collaborate with engineering firms and the communities all at once, so they could potentially put it in, but I would still know about it.
These guys are the ones that are basically doing it. Let's be honest.
But we'll show you. We don't need filling out, but click on your button there to add a new project.
Yeah, so if you're an entity, you can come in here, you can add a new project. You'll just select which entity you are.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally those 10 or 11 data fields you see right there. You fill those out. I mean, it's so easy to add one. So, yeah, you know, Commissioner Lytle, there'll be a little bit of training, right, from the AOGs out to the communities. And as Commissioner Bartholomew is saying, we do a lot of this for them anyway. So next time, you know, Shay's in Mona and they say, hey, can you help us add a project? Sure, we'll help you add a project. But if they want to add it on their own, they absolutely can. And it's literally as quickly as you see Shay filling out this information. And it's neat the way that Jones and Mill built this for us. And I mentioned this already, but when they say, hey, my project is $3 million, then they have to start selecting revenue sources that have to total $3 million. They can't click submit if they've only identified $2 million in revenue. They have to have all three of that before they can click submit. And then again, an engineer's estimate. And we feel like that's such a critical piece of this. And back to your question, Commissioner Lytle, on, you know, what's maybe hard. And we've talked to several of our engineering firms because we thought that is potentially a cost, right? But 99.9% are doing that now for free anyway and are willing to continue to do that. So they're happy to provide that estimate up front of what that is going to cost. And that's on here so you can see it.
For a community, who puts on the base data for the community? For instance, we'll say a county or a town, like whatever their annual budget is. is that an autofill that happens? I mean, somebody's got to enter it somewhere. Is it coming from another database? Or is it going to be incumbent on them as they like the CIB application where they've got to go through and figure out, do all the parts of their figuring with the help of Canvas?
Yeah. As we create new entities, so as we go in and create an account, so I have an admin account, right, at the AOG level. I can go in and create new entities. So if we have a different region added on, we could add all the municipalities and the counties in that region, right? As we do that,
with the base data,
we fill that base data in with it.
So it's already in there.
Long term, right, as this gets rolled out, we could pull, like, automatic data potentially from, like, census for population and auditor for budget and that type of stuff. But right now it would be manual. Yeah.
Even with our tool that we use, some way to integrate.
Yeah.
Because those numbers come from somewhere.
Right.
I would not dare not speak for Paul in that realm, but I would love his input into this at some point.
Sounds like you'd put the onus on the AOGs then.
A lot of it. A good majority.
Over time, they would have to maintain that data, too. It's going to change.
I mean, yeah, it's an email address, a phone number, a population, and a budget. I mean, so we're talking, there's four data points on the community page. So, yes, you know, and a lot of those now are, well, at least our small towns, they just have one email address they always use for the mayor, right? And the phone number doesn't change. But, yes, as those change, we want to rely on the AOGs to say, yes, we will make sure this – we have to, right? I mean, we've all played in rural Utah long enough to know how busy small town mayors are. They don't have the staff. They don't have the capacity, right? That's why we exist. That's why these community advisors exist. And so it's a natural relationship that's already happening out there, whether it's they're applying for a CIB right now or CDBG or Outdoor Rec. My guys are involved, period, right? And so, yes, it's
also streamlining, too, because
it is.
We're doing this. I mean, our lists... You know, that we're
consolidates data.
It just moves it to this.
The sky's the limit. Lots of hands. I'll hear you say one more thing, and I'll go. I mean, the sky's the limit. We've had other state agencies say, hey, can this serve as our application? Well, long term, it could. Yeah, if you wanted to say, hey, for an application, we need these points of data, and you want to request those from the community, they input those, and it's just as easy as clicking a button that says submit application, right? I mean, so, yeah, the sky's the limit for what the software could do.
So one other.
We've skipped Nagy like five times, if it's okay, Commissioner.
I'm just raising it.
But he's down there.
I'm just trying to get attention.
I'm not trying to stop stepping on your toes, Mr.
You're
Chairman.
Okay.
I feel like I can step on Commissioner Bartholomew's toes because he's my.
Depend on me.
They do. He's actually my chairman this year and does my review next month. So that was really brave.
Answer his question before he cuts you off from the money. Go ahead, Scott. Ask, please.
I forgot now. So there's perhaps another line item that needs to be put in there that we've never thought about. As I've seen this presentation, and that's in the where you're getting your funds from. We would like to see if they have applied somewhere else, or if this is the first source of funding.
Yeah.
What sources fit the project? Yeah.
Yeah, and we can do that. We can add any data point you want to it.
That'd be critical for us.
Okay, now ready for me?
Let's
go. Five questions.
Five.
You mentioned Jones and DeMille has helped to create this.
Yes, sir.
So is that licensed and trademarked by them, or is it open source for all of us to use?
That's what I meant.
Okay. Very good. You gave us the direction when you gave us the money to build a pilot that it was open and could be transferred to somebody else.
That
and that's the way it's been built.
Intellectual data.
Okay. So you will have an admin person with the password protection, because otherwise everybody's going to go in and mingle with this project program, and you're going to have a hodgepodge of everything.
Correct.
You're going to get more confusion than you intend to.
Correct.
Right?
We don't want to do that. Yeah.
Okay. Legislator, they're going to have the opportunity to get in this thing because every one of those counties has some kind of representation, senators or representatives. Are they going to have, because that is the best education tool.
Oh, yeah.
You can give the freshman senator to come in and say, what is going on with the CIB?
Yep.
What are they with that money? Or what are UDOT or any other agencies?
Yep, they all have access to it. Public view.
And who in the governor's office is going to have the key point or the contact person with you?
GOPB is going to be the lead contact at the governor's office. So Sophia DeCaro and GOPB and okay. Laura Hansen. So, and Laura wishes she was here today. I've known Laura a long time as well as most of you. I have literally never seen her so excited in my entire life. Like, if you know her, she thinks this is the greatest thing since air was invented. I don't know. So she's super excited and super behind it. And
one last question. Because of my UDOT position, I travel throughout the state because UDOT meets different parts of the states for their monthly meetings. And I just go intentionally looking for the projects we have approved through the CIB. Mm-hmm. I always ask people, is this shovel ready? We have projects for the last 2 years have been approved. Nothing has been off the ground. Your program has got any opportunity to say, 2 years ago, this project has not been done, so bring the money back or just start something different.
Yeah.
Today, we could have some of the money to approve some other projects.
Yeah, it would be super easy for CIB specifically that once you approve a project, then we have a category that says, you know, funded or approved, that you could sort by that feature. So as you're traveling around, you could click on that, just search by approved, and it would show you all the projects that you've approved but aren't completed, mm-hmm. and have dates on there for when you approved it, when it was submitted, what they said was their anticipated time frame for completing it. So all that data would be at your fingertips. You could pull that up on your cell phone. This plays really well on your cell phone, plays well on your iPad, your tablet, your laptop. Functionality. I've been at the legislature with it and sat in front of Senator Owen, Senator Albrick, and just pulled it up, or Representative Albrick, and pulled it up on my phone and said, take a look how easy this is. And it blows their mind that they could, you know, anytime somebody's there asking for more money, it's easy for them to say, well, let me look and see what we've done for you already as a state, where you've applied, where you've received money, how much you've received, what projects do you have. It simplifies everything.
Would it delineate in the funding sources appropriations as opposed to? Because those will come through an agency.
Yeah, they do. They all have to come through an agency.
But it won't necessarily tell you whether it came through their granting process or
right.
if it was yeah. appropriated by line.
That's a great question. It can, 100%. Yeah, if somebody just throws in the data and says, this is it.
Maybe one question. So mine's kind of a follow-up to what Doggy was asking about. So I noticed you have one start date on there. What is the start date? Because there's various components to starting a project, right? So when is it that you, what does start date mean in the system?
We're going to let you tell us what you want it to mean, okay. right? We threw start date in there just as a pilot to show you what it can do. But, yeah, if you as a CIB said, hey, we want an application date. We want a date for when you go out, your RFA goes out for your engineering firm. We want a date to when you start churning dirt. Would you tell us what you want that to mean
okay,
and what
that,
you want it
that,
to say.
That
and
is what I would suggest. I think yeah. we need to have several dates in there. So that we can tell exactly where a project is.
Yep.
And when they say it's shovel ready, then we have some way of knowing what do they mean by that. Do they mean it's ready to be engineered, or do they mean it's ready to actually start construction? Because I think that could change some of our decisions. So I
yep.
love the database.
Yep.
I think this is like going to be really, really helpful. And I would just suggest maybe we kind of build that component out so that we have multiple dates, and we can really hone in on where a project
yeah.
is.
So. Agreed.
You know, on that point, I don't know if it's for this software, but, you know, we hear everyone's shovel ready, but then how long does the money sit in the account,
yeah.
you know, before they pull it? And it would be good if we could track that as a board. So when the entity comes back around, right, at least we can see, okay, you guys were shovel ready the last two projects, and yet it took you 12 months to pull the funds, and you tied up that money that could have gone to someone else. I don't know if that
it could do it.
Yeah,
it could. Because if we have the data points in that Mr. Slaw's talking about,
yeah.
and then as you view completed projects, you would see that. You
yeah.
would see, hey, this is when we awarded them. This is when they had their engineering done. This is when they actually started moving dirt. Like you would have that data.
Yeah,
right?
that's so. A good record for us to keep because mm-hmm. the honor system for who's really shovel ready is, mm-hmm. I mean, is
well,
silly.
And to me, if I may, the definition of shovel ready is different for many. Also, depending on their economic, and I don't mean that they're playing games with it, but for some communities, they need that money to get even started to get shovel ready. And I don't want to get us too locked into well, if you, because somehow I want to leave room for the communities that don't even have the money to get it started.
Get their soft costs going.
Somehow to get those going.
Yeah.
To to be a part of that conversation.
Yeah.
But because we all have our own idea, shovel ready by definition means give me the money and I'm moving dirt.
Mm-hmm. Ready to start construction.
Right. And if that's going to be one of our primary criteria, I think we have to be a little bit careful or at least sensitive to the smaller communities that need some of that money, at least some of that money, mm-hmm. to get started, to get shovel ready.
Sure.
And so I just want to throw that plug in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Understandable.
Candace asked a question.
Yes, Ms. Powers.
On the yellow sheet that we do for all your projects that you both see up on the screen, and it comes out of the funding tool. Not that yellow sheet.
I know. You're talking about
the yellow, you see the prior projects on any entity that's bringing in a project. Please ask about those projects as you scroll down. It's at the very bottom. That's what you have funded to this entity previously, and it's always listed on this yellow sheet. So in kind of response and help to Chairman Wells' comment, if we could make some, you know, if we could know if it was shovel ready or have an update or a list, you query any of those when they come up. Most of them are probably done, but if you have questions and they've got a similar project in front of you, you might want to say, is this one done? We do follow up.
Where are you at? Mm-hmm.
And they're up there as you funded them, not necessarily that they have commenced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we live in the world where we think it'd be neat. Yeah, if you just, why they're up here, you, I mean, again, this is online. You bring up their community profile, right? And it's going to show not only all of that data that you funded in the past, but also throughout every state funding source that's out there. And so you'll just look at that right in front of you, you know, with them and have a lot of that up and going. But there's lots of hands over here. And, again, I don't want to take the chairman's job of picking out who goes next. But he's on his phone. So go ahead, Commissioner.
Yeah, the question I would have is around the engineer's estimate, because we've got a project currently that was funded that we haven't started. So when it went out to bid after we were funded, it comes in almost double.
Yeah.
At least considerably more than what was funded.
Yeah.
So the engineer's estimate is, how do we know what engineer put that together? Was it a junior that just put some numbers down on a piece of paper? I know part of that would be on the county's engineer, in my case.
Yeah.
But that number could be skewed way out if it isn't done correctly by a professional.
Yeah. That's
right. We tell the engineers they got to make up the difference if they're not.
Brian, you good with that?
I'd like to see that.
Brian's good with that.
Yeah, he'll put up the extra. He'll be fine. You're absolutely right. And one thing we've discussed in-house at our AOG, and we'll obviously preach this to all the AOGs and everyone, is we got to pay attention to what's going on in this, right? Because even an estimate, even let's say it is correct today, it's probably not correct 3 months from now. Costs go up, and you know that. And so we've got to do a good job as AOGs and say, hey, this project's on a one-year list. The engineer's estimate is 10 months old now, right? It's been on. It's been here. Yeah, and so we need to pay attention to that, and then the AOG can call back to the community and say, hey, you're getting ready to apply. We ought to update this, and let's get a new one, right? So it's just we've got to work together to make sure some of that happens.
Thank you.
One more question, Travis. You notice that Candace has a history of the what communities have projects that we have approved. Are you going to retroactively go for, what, 10 years, 15 years, 5 years? Okay.
5 years has been the ask and the commitment. If you we'll do whatever you
only
tell us to.
Candace?
You know that, but she...
Well, that's the annual report has 5 years, but the annual report that
I really like this project. I like what I'm seeing. I'm sure it's just still in the infant stages. Okay. As a board, what can we do to help with this project? Is there something that we need to be doing information-wise, or where are we at?
Great question. Thank you, Commissioner Taylor. The $30,000 built this pilot, right? Got it to where it is today. And again, I can't tell you, and you've heard me say the opposite of this before, but Jones and Mill did a really good job. Just kidding. I've never said opposite of that. Software is expensive, so we've asked them to put together some pricing after we've now gone to talk. We've talked to everybody, all state agencies, and said, okay, what's phase one rollout? And so Laura and Sophia and I sat down and kind of figured out what is phase one. Phase one is getting all 255 communities a login and on the system, all 7 association of governments on logged in, getting all of that up to date. Making modifications to the system at your request. So again, sitting down collectively as a group in the next 30 days or whenever that is, or a policy meeting, and saying, what changes do you want? You have recommended several today that are fantastic, right? What changes do you want? Do you want to see it in a trimester schedule? So making all of those changes to where it functions really, really well the way that you want it to run. We need $100,000. Laura and GOPB have committed 50 of that. Her hope is that they do 50. They're hoping you all are willing to do 50, and we turn this thing loose. So with an extra $50,000 from this board, partnered with GOPB's money, we can literally turn this thing into what you all want it to be, what we want it to be, what the communities want it to be, and then we take off from there. And the idea would be then if Outdoor Rec or Water Resources or whoever it is wants to be part of it, obviously they can see the data, right? Everybody can see the data, but they're going to want changes made for them. They have to pay for it, right? So if they come on board and say, hey, we want to start using your system, can you do this for us or can you change this for us, then great. We'll give them a price from Jones and DeMille that says this is what it costs.
Sounds like about $50,000 a piece.
Well, I mean, we could split the extra, but yeah, somewhere in there. But
so that's this is good that we're getting this figured out, because we need to plan for our next engagement with you, to kind of start to tailor this, for the CIB, and our policy retreats in June. So I wonder if we should set something up, like around our April 3rd meeting, or we should discuss how we want to engage with these guys to, to go in and really start to tinker with this thing.
My recommendation would be we put 20 in, because we've already paid 30 for it, and bring the rest in, or put the whole 100 in and recoup it as other agencies come in.
And then what?
50 of that already.
Yeah, they've already got 50 of it.
I was going to ask them for more later.
And then let the state pay for the O&M.
Well, he said there wouldn't be any O&M.
We're not going to ask you to pay for any O&M.
There you go.
That's all we care about. That was your question.
Put that one in writing.
Where there is always O&M.
Yeah, there will be.
100%. But not from CIB.
I guess it's, what I'm referring to is the actual meeting and
making it work
process, yeah. But is that timeline? So, I mean, ideally for the phase one rollout, when do you think this thing, assuming the funding was taken care of, when do you think this thing would be ready for us? I mean, by June,
By June.
No.
We would be, if you're good with the funding side of it, we would have it ready by June with all 250 entities built into it, the admin accounts built in. I would recommend we meet in April at your next meeting, or if you want to have a side work session, however you want to do it, Mr. Chairman, to give us direction on the changes you would like made, and then we could have all of those made by June.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then if that worked, we could then adopt it at our policy meeting in June. It'd be kind of nice. I like that. Yeah.
One more question. So have you approached even the water department and quality and the...
We have.
And they're participating?
They will if they want to use it. So everybody's just been on pause while we've shown it to everybody. Honestly, we've shown this to them, and they've said, great, can we start tomorrow, right? And so but you funded this. We wanted to come to you all first, make sure we had your blessing, that you felt good about what we're doing, that we're going down the direction you want us to go, because this was started with you. That's where when I gave Commissioner Brown the commitment that we wouldn't come and ask you for any more money, that's because, yes, we'll start charging them to use the system and let other state agencies pay long-term for the O&M and for access to the system. So, again, our ask to you would be to match the $50,000 from GOPB. Let us get it built the way that you want it so it's functioning statewide by June, And then, yes, we start taking money from the others to continue to modify it, improve it, get it the way they want it, and to cover the O&M costs long term. And I'll be honest, I was skeptical, and I thought, you know, Brian was just trying to, you know, steal money from us. So we did some research on what software costs. And I will tell you, this is dirt cheap. This is a steal for the state of Utah to get something like this built at this cost. It is a steal of a deal. And the ongoing cost, everything. And I was very skeptical. I said, Brian, that sounds like a lot of money. But it is very much not a lot of money in the software world.
So would we just add them for this next round of the meeting, April 3rd, then?
Okay, we'll be board member discussion action item.
Okay.
Yeah. You can make dollar decisions there, too.
Okay, well, I nominate Jack and Kurt and Laura to the executive review committee that will be working with these guys to tailor and tweak this thing. Informal committee. That's usually who services to the top when we get into this stuff, so I'm just going to get it out there now.
Don't look disappointed.
Well, I don't think. Oh,
we can.
We can fund it today, can we?
I'd make a motion.
No, we don't. Yeah, we have cash.
It has to be next month.
We'll do it next month.
What about planning? Don't we have a different set of funds for planning?
We're trying to figure out how to send these gentlemen with some money for this thing, these powers.
Well, the AOGs, how much do we fund?
You can, and we will wait to appropriate something else. What amount are you?
$50,000.
Yeah. I got 26 bucks.
$50,000 and some nerd clusters.
That's an additional.
I got a fresh bag.
Well, it gets down to part of my question on the administration of it. Each of the AOGs are going to be tied in. It's going to be a GOPB program, is what you're anticipating?
I think we need them to push it statewide. So, you know, as far as getting all the other funding sources in the state, it...
In the chain of authority, how does GOPB's right up there
yeah.
for most of us. At the same time, if there's an annual operating cost to running this...
You are not going to pay for it.
As
CIB.
With any city CIB money, or will it come into the funding that we do for the AOGs?
No, it will not. I want the state to pay for it. GOPB, the legislature, the governor, I don't care which one, water resources, they are going to pay the ongoing costs.
As a line item in the state
budget. Correct.
You can also approach MPOs.
We can. And yes, there's other lots of good questions. There's transportation lists out there. This can tie into those. We're meeting with the state's GIS people next week because they want a map on here. They want to click on a button yep. that shows you a map of where all these projects are. Like, I promise you, 6 months from now, we will all
yeah.
love this thing. It's going to do a lot of good for us.
Okay, so if Jones and DeMille developed it, are they going to continue to maintain it?
That would be our intent, yes. And again, that's where the... I don't want to say the easy button for the state is, but because we're a government entity, we did the necessary procurement process to select them, then yes, that is our intent would be to continue to have Jones and DeMille operate it on the back end and make the changes. Correct.
Okay. What database platform was used in the development? Is there...
Yeah. Great question.
That's a really good question.
You'll get back to us.
It's a really neat one that builds software stuff.
It's not based on Salesforce. It's built from the ground up, so they coded it, right? I don't know the
TikTok, I think.
Terminology. No, it's not TikTok.
We will let you know.
But okay, yeah, I'm just curious on that. But
so what verbiage for a motion do we need then to get this funded today?
Could we make a motion to suspend and fund once CIB receives funds next month?
We can make a motion that you can fund this. That you can fund this once the January revenue. So you can authorize it right now, and then between her and I, we will not appropriate it until
January revenue. That would be my motion.
Is that a motion?
That would be my motion.
Is that seconded?
Second.
Sure.
Yeah, okay,
discussion on the motion?
Not sure what the motion was.
Exactly what you said.
Okay.
Do you want to restate it real quick?
Before, what if we go to a particular PTIF, if these ladies can pull one up, one of those funds, where that $50,000 could be funded from that's related to, at least?
Well, you can't just take from somebody's
she's
money.
Got a solution. We got a solution. We've got one we're working on.
No, it would be our money to take from, not.
It will come out of the mineral lease fund. It was Commissioner Taylor...
Seconded by Kurt.
And
so, motion to fund.
What is the motion?
Motion to
fund
$50,000. They're not going to authorize it until January. Until
the January money comes in.
Revenue comes in.
Hi.
Oh, I have a call.
It's a roll call. You're out of order.
I'm always out of order.
Support.
Pay attention, Jack.
Okay, just one question. Is according to Blue Book of Bible, is this appropriate funding source for this program? Because somebody's going to question in the media, you appropriated the money for the things that maybe not be in the our Blue Book.
You can fund planning, public infrastructure, and public services. Is this not a
this is the planning. This is the planning category.
Public service. Public planning.
Public
right.
plan.
So it falls within your...
Okay. Just want to make sure make it legal.
The eligible entity has to be critical. We can fund our six. We can fund a state division.
Let's have a vote on this.
Do we have an application?
You don't have to. You don't need
okay.
an application.
I'm not
you
trying to make it difficult, but don't want to find
you,
out later.
Let's have a vote on this, please, Ms. Powers.
This is something
I would like to call for a vote, please, Ms. Powers.
Call the question.
This is for supplemental funding for a prior project that CIB has funded, contingent on the January revenues out of the mineral lease account for the OneList software matching GOPB
$50,000.
We're getting in early again.
Slaw.
Yes.
Bartholomew.
Yes.
Lytle.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Miles.
Aye.
Taylor.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Winfield.
Yes.
Zanotti.
Aye.
Nobody got an honorific on that one. Roll call vote.
Okay.
Thank you all very much. We look forward to working with you. We look forward to being a solution to what you had to deal with today, right? That was hard. And we applaud all of you for what you do for our region and for the state and for rural Utah. So thank you. Let us know when you want to meet on this little executive group, and we'll get it working towards
Sounds
what you want.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
Thank you.
Up next, can we? I need to hold on. Hey, we need to have a board member discussion and or action item so we can buy me a damn gavel, I think, for this place.
Am I allowed to donate that?
Yeah, you can. Okay. Do we have any other discussion questions on that real quick?
Is there, if we want to have some input or direction that we'd like to ask questions about this, how do we go about doing that?
I think having open conversations with these guys is great, but I also think keeping the like CERTA looped in on that too.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe send it to Candace every email.
Yeah.
Or can get them all collected and discuss them next month. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Circulate them. Yes, Ms. Powers.
Do you want them on the April meeting? No. They don't need to be now.
They don't need to be now, but what we are wanting to do is have a working session with them around April for members of the board that want to dig in and start to tailor the software to the CIB. So that's what we're working on, is some kind of a working group. Maybe that's just something we get scheduled and start working on through Zoom. You know, in the meantime, there's no need to wait around, you know. So any of those are fine. You know,
what do you guys want to do? You want to start working on this through video conference right away, a series of meetings, or you want to do it all in person? I mean, so I think the idea is it's going to take quite a bit of, you know, kind of collaboration. And
I would like Paul involved in a big way.
Yeah.
If we can allocate him to that.
Okay. Well, we'll figure that out.
Whether he wants to be or not.
He's not listening.
He's in. Paul's in on the party.
And Candace will have a big part of that.
Yep. Okay, so for our section 9.2 for this CIB policy retreat, we're down to two finalists, Sevier County or Kane County. And the staff and myself, we had a straw vote to see where the staff was and where I was, and we kind of came in. Kane County has the edge right now. But we want to open up to the board and see where you guys want to go for the policy retreat. Where would you like to go? We've been offered to be hosted by both of those fine communities where we're funding and working on great projects. So
I get to pick?
Yeah. Well, now I got a bag of nerd clusters. I don't have to go to Duchesne for nerd clusters anymore, so I can go anywhere.
That's true.
So do we go to Kanab? Then? Is that
road? Yeah, Kanab or Richfield.
Remind us. I'd like to hear from Sevier what their plans are for funding.
I'd like to hear from Kane to see what their stuff is.
Well, if they didn't make it, I don't know how to
Well, we have had several projects in Kane County that we have approved large amount of money that we need to go see what they've done, the shovel-ready project yet, or they're still holding on. That's my humble opinion.
Well, in Sevier County, you'll get to sit in the R6 building that we've totally funded.
Okay.
We've also been invited to go up to Kasherm from the Mayor Torgerson and set in their brand new community center, and then we take you on a bus up to Fish Lake for dinner and entertainment.
Do we get to sit in Travis's office in the R6 building?
Yeah, no. I think he has a gavel too.
Woo! Okay. Well, I'm pretty agnostic, but we gotta make a decision. So,
and what do we get to do in Kane County?
Who? We don't know.
What would be our 5-county AOG, what are we going
to
do?
We're going to the wave.
The wave.
We're going to the wave.
Going to the wave.
There you go.
I'm sure we can find something.
With the new administration, we might be able to get tickets.
Yep.
Well, there'll be too many bodies. They can only allow 12 heartbeats out there at one time. We'd have to go in two different ways.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to go to Kanab at this stage, if it is possible, with your blessing, Commissioner Brown.
Nay.
I'm out.
Lack of a second.
Didn't get to that point. Okay, then I make a motion to go to Commissioner Brown's community.
Okay.
They have all these opportunities that you offer to us.
Second. Okay. Motion to attend our policy retreat in Sevier County. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, votes unanimous. We're headed to Sevier County for our policy retreat June 5th and 6th. So we'll look forward to seeing you there, Commissioner Brown.
Do you need pictures from last year's event?
I was there.
To help, I'm just jogging your memory, the layout, all that. I just want to make sure.
I'll lay you out.
I'm just trying to help you. You remember that table that they had?
Yeah, Greg, Commissioner Miles is on the executive committee for the policy retreat now.
There you go.
He's our advisor.
The only negative feedback we had is that we had crappy chairs to sit in for the meeting. So
really?
You gotta one up us there.
Okay.
We gotta have more comfortable chairs. Okay.
Do they recline?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We want the leather one like that's in Travis's office. So. Okay. Sounds good. All right, so next we set our meeting, our second trimester funding meeting for April 3rd. So we're finished up. We'll adjourn the meeting.
Great.
Who seconded the motion for Richfield?
Commissioner Winfield.
Oh, Commissioner Winfield.
I thirded it.
All right, great job. Everyone be safe.
Commissioner.